Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm bringing sexy back. Yeah. The mother boys don't know how to act. Yeah. I think it's special what's behind your back. Yeah. So turn around and I'll pick up the slack. Yeah.
He brought the sexy back to politics. Now, can he do the same for D.C.? This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer, and today we'll find out if Obama's presence in our nation's capital as president will transform that city's culture. And later on the show, the ethereal folk pop of Leona Ness live in our studio. But first, a hip, relatively young president is now settled into his new home in Washington, D.C. Unlike President Bush, who was famous for going to bed at 10 p.m. and never ventured out to the city's restaurants, the Obamas like to go out, and they're into the arts. Barack and Michelle's first date was at Chicago Art Institute. And he's into eclectic music. Obama's iPod has Stevie Wonder next to Yo-Yo Ma and Jay-Z. So, how will their arrival transform culture in D.C.? That is the first topic in an occasional series that we're starting today called The Culture of Change, The First 100 Days. And we begin with Tyler Green. He's editor and writer for Modern Art Notes, a blog for artsjournal.com, and Tyler is based in Washington, D.C. Hi, Tyler. Welcome to Soundcheck.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Let me ask you first, you know, if this is even a possibility that Obama could make somehow Washington, D.C. seem cooler, hipper. I mean, you can't legislate culture. By definition, it comes from above. So what can he realistically do?
People do, however, follow magnetism. Washington has never had a creative youth culture a la Brooklyn or a la Silver Lake in Los Angeles, a place to which talented, young, creative, budding professionals go to express themselves and build a creative career. Howard University may be 15 blocks from the White House, but it takes more than a single institution of higher learning or a single place to attract people to something. However, a president is a whole different deal, and that is something that gets discussed here a lot. That Republican presidents tend to attract oil men, and Democratic presidents, especially younger ones, especially those who ran on an explicitly urban platform, may attract a whole different kind of people to the Capitol.
All right, now, you said there, you know, that D.C. doesn't traditionally have this kind of youth culture like Brooklyn or Silver Lake, but you know, there was a time in the 70s and early 80s when D.C. was a kind of very fertile, place for the burgeoning punk rock movement. I mean, Bad Brains came from D.C., Minor Threat came from D.C., and even though these bands maybe didn't get the national attention they deserve, they've turned out to be hugely influential. So there's got to be something going on there.
Fugazi, too.
A little bit later, Fugazi. And then, you know, on to, I mean, Bob Mould has spent time down there in D.C. and all the go-go music that's been there the last couple of decades.
I think that's true. But I think that within the context of what drives the city, the creative industries, the creative people in the creative industries, so artists, be they recording artists, be they visual artists, be they poets, have always been a much smaller component of what makes the town tick than, say, the professional creative class, curators, scholars, historians, academics. And I think that for the first time since, you know, at least the 70s, that has a chance of beginning to swing the other way.
Now, why do you say that? What's different about Obama?
His magnetism is undeniable. I mean, the numbers, the impact he had on the youth vote was significant, and there is some hope, if not expectation, outright expectation, that he will attract young budding professionals, not just in the creative industries, but also in other industries, journalism or people who want to work on the Hill, to Washington, almost a Kennedy-like effect. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's possible. Also, you know, Washington, if you wanted to come to Washington from, you know, Nebraska or New Mexico or Idaho, you know, for the last decade, it's been an enormously expensive place to come and live, a la New York. But Washington hasn't really had a Brooklyn where people, where young creative types could go live more affordably. You know, rents and such have been coming down here, and that will have an impact.
Okay.
That will help.
We're speaking with Tyler Green. He's an editor and writer for Modern Art Notes, a blog for artsjournal.com, and he's on the line with us from Washington, D.C.
Today on the Soundcheck blog...
Seeing our country's leaders as actual consumers of the arts rather than just mouthing platitudes about them could do more for D.C. and the whole country's arts community than any legislation or funding bill.
For the rest of the story, go to the Soundcheck blog at WNYC.org.
And while you're there, leave a comment. What do you think we can expect from the Obamas as they attempt to bring the arts to the table as part of our national conversation? What will that do for the image, for the culture there in Washington, D.C.? Tyler, you mentioned he's a magnetic presence, and people are kind of drawn to things that he does and says. And I mean, is he in a position where he and the family can go out to a restaurant and then catch a show and, you know, go to a late-night concert in one of the clubs? I mean, there are real security issues here.
I think with the last point you raised, late-night concerts and clubs, there's a very real security issue. But in terms of Washington's restaurants or events at the Kennedy Center or the National Gallery of Art, these are Washington institutions that have been around for a long time that have plenty of experience in dealing with the security apparatus that surrounds a first family. And I do think that we will see, or I hope we will see, something of a change in how those institutions think of how they program and present themselves to the public, in part motivated, if not inspired, by the Obama administration. The Kennedy Center and the National Gallery of Art, Washington's marquee institutions, have never been particularly good at figuring out how to attract diverse audiences and programming for diverse audiences. And I think where we may see the change is typically when those institutions have approached programming for non-WASP audiences, they've thought, well, we want to draw in African Americans from PG County to this show because, you know, we should. That's just the right thing to do. Well, now the mindset's got to be different, doesn't it? Doesn't the mindset have to be, we want to attract the president?
Right.
That's a big change.
Are we talking about just the first family? I mean, isn't there like a whole wave of kind of younger people in his administration who perhaps can go to those late night concerts and things like that?
I don't know. I think that remains to be seen. I think we're more likely to see that wave. Young people, when they come to Washington, generally don't start working in the executive branch and in the White House. They generally start on Capitol Hill. Capitol Hill has been for decades kind of referred to as kind of Washington's, you know, college over there, you know, where the young 20-somethings go to meet and flirt and congregate and go out, and then from the Hill they move up 14th Street or up 7th Street to the clubs. I do think young people, especially young Democrats, will be coming to D.C. in big numbers, and they may be coming because of Obama, but I don't think they'll be going into the executive branch.
All right, Tyler, let me ask you a couple of true and false questions. You can just, you know, we especially here in New York, and I'm sure in other parts of the country, we think of Washington, D.C. as a kind of boring political town, the so-called deserted city. Is that true or false?
False. I've lived here for 10 years now. D.C. was once a much quieter, much more federal, much more dead after dark town. D.C. is a vibrant. I mean, New York has a much broader arts and nightlife and club and music scene than Washington does. And in some areas, Los Angeles does too. But I'd put Washington up against anybody else.
All right. What about the idea that the restaurant scene is all like old school steakhouses and that everything is inflated by, you know, government expense accounts and everything shuts down at 10?
Oh, big false. Washington is probably one of the five or seven best restaurant cities in America. We have, there's no question that, the, you know, if you want a steakhouse, you can find one here. But we've got everything else, too. I mean, you name a cuisine with the possible exception of Cuban. Gee, I wonder why. you can find it here. And as far as it being a late-night town, we're not Las Vegas. But, you know, you can get dinner here at 10 or 10:30 or 11. No problem at all.
And finally, the local music there, still go-go?
No, it's substantially more diverse. I don't know if our music scene is as diverse as, say, our dining scene, but I think our music scene is certainly more diverse than, say, our visual arts scene.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes for venues, geography of venues, and the ages and people that those venues attract.
I mentioned before great DC acts, you know, Bad Brains, Minor Threat. You could add Dismemberment Plan and Urban Verbs and many others. Who's hot now there in DC?
I don't know.
What about this? What about Whale?
I don't know. Music is not my best spot.
All right. Well,
you know, visual art people tend to go to bed early, I guess.
Well, we're told that this guy is attracting a lot of buzz now. He certainly worked with, like, one of the great producers du jour in Mark Ronson. His name is Whale, spelled without an H. And this piece is called Nike Boots, and this is an example of some of the music coming out of D.C. now.
The revolution will proceed. Unification, the DMV, I will achieve indeed. I decree I'm forming a new alliance. Oppose the one poisoning the minds. They lying. I am only a fighter in the form of a writer, in the form of a poet. Potency in the mic. I blank out, then I approach it. Turn me up and I go in. Haters must learn to bear. I'm Lovie Smith with the vocals. Lord, I'm so focused, more focused than I ever been. So slightly past M, like the letter N. It's DC, black jeans, black tee. It's that North Face rap. Better get me PG, Riverdale, Largo, Temple Hills, Cap Heights, 124, Landover.
The rapper's name is Whale. Nike Boots is the name of the song. He is from Washington, D.C., and so is Tyler Green, who's with us on the line. He's editor and writer for Modern Arts Notes. And also joining us on the line from D.C. is Adele Logan Alexander. She is professor of history at Georgetown University and an expert in African-American history. Adele also happens to be the mother of the poet Elizabeth Alexander, who was part of Obama's inauguration last week. Adele, welcome to Soundcheck.
Thank you very much, and my employers at George Washington University would be shocked if I didn't correct you and tell you we have two universities that start with George.
Yes, but big difference. Now, have you seen a big kind of spike in interest in George Washington University since the election of President Obama?
Well, one of the things that's interesting is that folks told me over at George Washington that indeed, right after the election, there was a spike in applications. So I think that is going to be a factor.
Well, you know, Tyler was telling us before that, you know, the youth generally kind of move into D.C. for one thing or another, and that there hasn't been a kind of a Brooklyn, you know, where young people go to kind of create an artistic community. So what do you suppose is behind that spike in interest? And maybe they're seeing it at Howard and Georgetown as well.
Well, I think that one of the things that I saw was with my students this fall, who came from all over the country, that they were unanimously Obama supporters. I had one exception out of, I think, 60-plus students. Who was a McCain supporter, but for the most part, we know that there has been a huge spike in interest in politics among young people, and of course, young people are interested in politics, but they're also interested in the things that you're talking about too,
mm-hmm.
and they're interested in music and cultural things and so on. And I might add that the George Washington students, we are located only six blocks from the White House, they were the first ones who went down and demonstrated in front of the White House, exalting their excitement on the night of the election, and they brought all kinds of real and improvised musical instruments, and that created a part of the culture of Washington that night.
So you had a little impromptu Brooklyn, an impromptu Silver Lake there.
We had an impromptu Brooklyn, an impromptu jazz fest down there.
Now, one of the other things that Tyler mentioned just a moment ago was, you know, when you talk about some of the real formal arts institutions in D.C., say, for example, the Kennedy Center,
that
there needed to be a change in kind of programming focus. It wasn't, let's do a program for the African-American audience because it's the right thing to do. It was, we want the president to be interested in this. Is there a trickle-down effect? If they're interesting to the president, will it be interesting to the younger consumers of culture?
I think it probably will be. I went to a jazz concert at the Kennedy Center last Saturday night, and it was very interesting in that this was some black elderly jazz folks, but the audience was not just black, it was black and white and young and old. And also, speaking of the first family, we understand that Michelle's mother, the first mother-in-law, as we call her, Marian Robinson, came to a performance at the Kennedy Center that night. So I think that I think you will have interaction. It's very interesting. I mean, Tyler was talking about being in Washington for 10 years. I've been in Washington for 40 years, so my perspective is much greater than his is. And certainly in those early days, Washington was a very sleepy southern town. One of the things, and President Lyndon Johnson gets a bad rap on a lot of things because people associate him almost exclusively with the Vietnam War, but he had somebody in his administration who was kind of an ambassador to Washington, who made Washington's needs known to the White House and got the White House interested in Washington, D.C. I don't think we've seen that in recent years, and we certainly didn't see the Bushes coming out of the White House grounds, coming downtown, going to theaters, going to restaurants. I think that will be a change.
We're speaking with
the Bushes.
Go ahead, Tyler.
And the Bushes were mostly well known for leaving things early.
Very early. Even their own dinners.
Right.
Let me ask you both something. Adele Alexander with us on the line from George Washington University. Tyler Green with us from Modern Art Notes. Tyler, does the city's arts community, does it change as you've seen different administrations come and go in D.C.?
Not substantially. Washington's art community is a little bit different than New York's or Chicago's in that it's intensely institutional. So we don't have anywhere near the number of young artists or young fantastic commercial galleries that New York or Los Angeles does. So when people come here to work at the Smithsonian or the National Gallery or the Phillips Collection or the Kennedy Center, you know, they're coming to put in a career shift, and that might be, you know, 5 years, 15 years. So there doesn't tend to be cultural institutional turnover here the way there is in the political scene.
Mm-hmm. Adele, same question to you.
I think that's true, and we do. There is a tendency when people talk about a new administration comes to Washington as if we're going to have a huge turnover in population. Well, we're not. We're going to have some turnover, people who come down here to come down to Washington to work for the administration. But for the most part, you have a city that probably 90% of the population doesn't change. They're permanent residents, and a few of them are in the arts, but most of them are teachers and policemen and work in restaurants and, you know, do all the sort of car repairs and things like that people do in other cities.
And are they being hurt to the same extent? I mean, the people who are in the arts, are they being hurt by the economic, the recession?
Well, you know, one of the things that, and I know Tyler spoke to this a little bit before, yes, we are going to have something of a recession in Washington, but also we're going to have new people coming to Washington. And a lot of people have said that we don't have the kind of downturn so far in housing, in jobs that you have so many other places in the country. So I think that to a certain extent, not entirely, of course, Washington is more recession-proof than other places are. And that'll filter down into the arts as well, I think.
All right, now,
I think that.
Go ahead, Tyler.
I think that's an important point. Out of the top 100 American metropolitan areas, Washington's unemployment rate stands in the lowest three or four. We're at about 4.4% unemployment. So that means that creative class individuals can come here and try to do their creative thing and have a little bit of a cushion. And hopefully, as there are creative people in wherever they are and they think about coming here, they realize that. And maybe that will lead to an influx.
All right. Adele, I mean, as an expert in African-American history, let's look into the future a little bit. D.C. has always had a large African-American community. We now have a black president. How will that affect specifically the arts in the African-American community? And I guess you can either answer this just purely locally there in D.C. or broaden it out to the whole nation.
Well, let me say a couple of things. First of all, one of the things that we know about Washington is that Washington lost its representation because people in the federal government believed that it was becoming a majority black city. This was in the late 19th century.
Mm-hmm.
So I think a lot of people in Washington, me among them certainly, are hopeful that we will take yet another step towards full representation. So that's sort of the political culture that we hope will change during the Obama administration.
And then you'll have to change all your license plates that say taxation without representation.
Then we can't say taxation without representation, but I think that most people would say that's a very small...
That's a good trade-off. Yeah.
A very, very good trade-off. Now, the other thing is I think that the Obama administration, I think that the president has already said that he wants to do things like bringing poetry conferences to the White House, bringing culture into the White House. This was never something that President Bush particularly cared about. I, as you said in your introduction, I'm particularly sensitive to those things because my daughter is a poet.
Mm-hmm.
She was the inaugural poet, so I care a lot about those things. And I hope that because he is somebody who has been attuned to, greatly attuned to education, that all of the universities in Washington, and you don't think of Washington so much as a university town, but it's a huge university town. And I hope that our institutions of higher education will be involved with this as well. Also, I am hoping that someplace like, and we don't talk of ourselves as being an arts center, but we have a high school for the performing arts, and
mm-hmm.
we have for many years in Washington. So hopefully people will become more aware of operations like that in D.C.
Well, we'll see how much of this can happen in the first 100 days. While we're doing this series that we call The Culture of Change, The First 100 Days. And we've been speaking with Adele Logan-Alexander, professor of history at George Washington University, and with Tyler Green at Modern Art Notes, a blog for artsjournal.com, both of them calling us from the D.C. area. And to the two of you, Tyler, Adele, thank you so much for being with us on Soundcheck today.
Thank you, John. We enjoyed it.
Thank you.
And a number of comments coming in on the Soundcheck page, most of them commenting on my mispronunciation of the rapper Whale. It's actually pronounced Wale, W-A-L-E, pronounced Wale. So my apologies to Wale and his crew. And that is a little bit of what's happening in D.C. Coming up next, three new CDs for you to check out in Soundcheck CD Picks of the Week. And later, singer and songwriter Leona Ness shares her introspective new album.
One hand on the trigger and one eye out for good. One foot on the floor and one glass in the tote.
Leona Ness and her band play live on Soundcheck in just a couple of minutes. Stay with us.